Let us compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja. Arahaṃ sammasambuddho bhagavā buddhaṃ bhagavantaṃ abhivādemi. Svākāto bhagavata dhammo dhammaṃ namassāmi. Supatipanno bhagavato sāvakasāṅgho saṅghaṃ namāmi. Okay. You can be seated and turn to page 1 of the chanting book. We shall commence the Vandana chanting. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Saṅghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi saṅghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi saṅghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Pānāti pātā vīramani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Ādīna dānā vīramani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Kāmesu micchācārā vīramani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Musāvādā vīramani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Sūrāmeraya majjhāpamādatthāna vīramani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Okay, now we are chanting Patipā Puja, offering of light. Ganna sārappadithena dipena tamadang sina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonodang ganda sambarayutena dupena hang sugang hina pujaye pujani yang tang puja bacana mutamang Vanna ganda guno petang etang kasuma santatin pujayami munindasa siripada sarorohe pujemi buddhang kusumena nena punnena mattena cha hotu mokang Pupang milayati yata idang me kayo tata yati vinasa bawang adivasa setu nobante paniyang parika pitang anu kampang upadaya patigan hatu mutemang Adivase tuno bante, pale parika pitang, Anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutemang adivasetu nobante bojanang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutemang. Okay, we shall now chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help to rise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of defilement within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Buddha, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dhanaparami of generosity and the fruits of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free Nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transferring merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the conditions and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Triple Japa. Bhadang Pujami. Dhammang Pujami. Sanghang Pujami. Okay, you all can be seated. Okay, yeah, no wonder I look the same. Yeah, mother and daughter. So you are most welcome to join us. Feel free to ask whatever question if you don't quite follow or understand. So first session is we have our pre-puja. Does your mom have some background or don't have? Completely new meditation, never meditate before. Oh, once in a while. Oh, good. What type of meditation you do? Chanting. Yeah, I know. They have the chanting book. Yeah. Sometimes they chant the paritta chanting also. Kantan. Yeah. Yes. Some of those are the Thai tradition. Thai tradition. Arahang, Samma, Sambuddho, Bhagawa, Buddhang, Bhagavantang, Abhiwa, Jemi. So this one also can help. It can make you calm, make you peaceful, develop the spiritual faculty. So the main purpose of this puja, we call it devotional practices, as recommended by Lord Buddha. Because without these devotional practices, it's more difficult to develop the faith in the Buddha and his teaching. So when you do these devotional practices, the vibration can make you peaceful and calm. And when you chant with understanding, your mind become more confident. Then you become more composed and more calm. That's the reason why the Buddha said all this puja that he has recommended to all the monks and cultivators, they have their advantages and usefulness. There's a lot of benefits that come with doing all this puja, because it also helps you to create affinity with the Triple Gem, the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. When you take refuge, Buddhang Saranang Gacchami, to the Buddha, I go for refuge. So that one is a very powerful reaffirmation of refuge. Then to the Dhamma, to the Sangha, I go for refuge. Then you repeat Dutiyampi for the second time, I go to the Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha for refuge. Then for the third time. The reason why you go for refuge is according to the Buddha. The only way to receive his teaching or the Dhamma, which is the truth, is through these three. That's why it's called the Triple Gem. You know gemstone, they are the most precious among the precious stone. That's why it's called gemstone, it's a gem. So in a similar way, the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha is within the spiritual field. It's like the gem within the universe. The Buddha is the fully enlightened one. Not only enlightened, perfect in enlightenment, fully enlightened. That's why he has great wisdom. And you can say he is the wisest living being ever to be born during his time. Then he got the nine great virtues. He is a teacher of man and God. He is the worthy one, blessed with wisdom and virtue. Then he is a guide without comparison. And there are many, many qualities that the Buddha has. Then on top of that, he has this special teaching which he teach that can awaken the living being, can bring about enlightenment in the here and the now, can free living beings from all suffering, then can transform them personality-wise, character-wise, into very virtuous and noble beings, so that they will have the ability to understand life, to live the beautiful and wonderful life of an enlightened being. Then they can allow those who have the Dhamma to develop a lot of wholesomeness, a lot of goodness, virtue, and all those things. Then when you do that, your karmic nature become beautiful. Then this karma will support you and give rise to all the beautiful conditions for you to experience all of the beauties and wonders of life. Then suffering can be like minimized. Then later on, when you have the enlightenment, there is nothing in this world that can cause you any unhappiness or suffering or misery. Every moment of sense experience is beautiful, meaningful. The mind is no longer like before, deluded, grabs, cling, get itself entangled and become afflicted, miserable when things don't go your way. When there is a lot of this fear, worry, anxiety, because you have life situation or problems that you cannot handle, that you have a lot of attachment to. That's why the fear, worry, and anxiety will intensify, leading to depression, leading to sorrow and lamentation. And these are all very painful, stressful, and traumatic mind states. which the Buddha calls suffering, misery, especially fear, intense fear, phobia, and other things. So, puja can help us develop a lot of beautiful mind states to overcome all this negativity. In the teaching, the Buddha highlighted, that's why afterwards we are going to develop the meditation, so I explain a bit first. He said the reason why living being cannot meditate or develop the calmness of mind is because of these five mental hindrances. He called them hindrances because these are mind states that they will hinder your mind from becoming peaceful, from developing the inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness. That's why it's called mental hindrance. So when you have this hindrance, it makes you think a lot, worry a lot. Then you become heedless. That's why you cannot meditate. Your mind is disturbed by this mental hindrance. And there are five, according to the Buddha. And the first two, sensual desire, ill will, which are the duality of sense experience, your like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience or sense reaction. These two mental hindrances, they constantly arise in the living being's mind, especially those who have not trained their mind, who has not developed the opposite five, the spiritual faculties. So when you don't have that, you have a lot of mental hindrance. That's why you become heedless and your mind state is very, very negative and you cannot become peaceful. That's why they find meditation very difficult. So what they do is when they go for meditation, when they try to calm down and become peaceful, they realize they cannot do it. That's why all the meditation teacher, they will teach you method and technique to train your mind, to calm your mind, to anchor your mind so that this mind doesn't wander off and get itself entangled or lost in thought. So the spiritual faculty can be developed through puja or developed through the devotional practice. So when we chant, we maintain the faith, the calmness. Then when we reflect and contemplate on the great virtue, and wisdom of Lord Buddha and how wonderful this teaching is, we have stronger faith, and this will drive us through that understanding and faith to cultivate this teaching. That's why the second spiritual faculty after faith or confidence in the Buddha and his teaching is virya. Virya is a spiritual energy or tenacity to cultivate. That's why you will be very different, your mind, because you see the importance of this teaching, and you will go all out to like motivate yourself or drive yourself to cultivate. And when you do that, the third spiritual faculty will arise, because all of this meditation or training is to develop sati or mindfulness, the third spiritual faculty. When the third spiritual faculty arises, then you stabilize it, it becomes samadhi. Samadhi is collectedness of mind or unwavering mind. When your mindfulness or sati become very stable, collected and unwavering, then accumulate into samadhi. Mindfulness is awareness before the knowing. When you pay respect to the Buddha, you do it mindfully, it means body and mind move as one without thought. And that is mindfulness. Or when you train your mind in anapanasati, mindfulness of the in and out breath, because your mind is aware of the breathing, it is not thinking. So mind and breath move as one, body and mind move as one. This is what the Buddha called kaya nupassana, develop mindfulness through the body, through the kaya, to anchor your mind there. Then when you have sati and samadhi, you can see things as they are. That's how you develop wisdom, panya, the last spiritual faculty. And when these five is there, the mental hindrances are overcome. That's how you can meditate. Then during the puja, not only we take refuge, we pay respect, we offer all the puja offering, we offer candle light, we offer clear water, we offer fruits, we offer flower. All this has its significance, like how we develop the aspiration just now during chanting, based on our understanding of all this puja offering. Then we renew our precepts, the five precepts, that is to help us maintain our good karma. Those who violate their precepts, they have evil intention. The evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion are there. It will bring about karmic negativity, that's a downfall in your life. Then when the fruition come, you reap what you sow. Whatever negativity you do to people, like killing, causing harm to fellow living being, stealing, deceiving, cheating, then committing sexual misconduct, lying, and all those things. Then when you partake intoxicant, your consciousness will be affected, and it can lead you to further downfall, because it will cause you to be heedless. Then you can break all the other precepts. So these are all very meritorious. And you develop the good virtue to avoid all evil by keeping your precepts. And you at the same time train yourself to have humility, to have mindfulness, to develop the spiritual faculty of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi and panya. So all this will help you. Then in the closing puja, we will share these merits and transfer these merits to all beings. Then we rejoice. Then we make aspiration. So all these are very meaningful, very wholesome. It constitutes a lot of wholesomeness. And almost all the entire 10 meritorious actions that the Buddha taught can be performed. Because after that we meditate, then we have Dhamma sharing. Then we will have what they call the listening to the Dhamma. When you listen to Dhamma, it is a meritorious action. Then when you develop the understanding, you straighten your view, it's another meritorious action. That's why all of the 10 meritorious actions, you will get to perform them. Okay, with this understanding, maybe we will start the meditation. I get them to off the light. Then those who already know how to meditate, you can commence your meditation straight away. For those who are still new, who need meditation instruction, I will give you some simple one to train your mind. Okay, relax body and mind, completely relax, free your mind. Tell yourself you are here to meditate, you are here to develop mindfulness within. So whatever mental thinking that your mind want you to dwell on, like your unfinished daily problems or situation, you tell the mind, not now, after the meditation I will attend to it. So while we are meditating, you can have the space to train your mind, to develop the inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness within. Okay, make sure you have a stable posture. You can sit, you sit. You cannot, you can lean against the wall or sit on a stool. The posture is not critical. More important is how you can make yourself peaceful to meditate. Then make sure your backbone is straight. Then relax completely, body and mind relax. No need to do anything, just free your mind, just maintain a relaxed body and mind. Then close your eye, breathe in, breathe out normally. Then move your attention or awareness to your forehead. Just feel, don't think, feel. You can detect any tightness, any stress within, or any tension. Then you just relax, relax, and relax into it. The entire forehead, relax. Then you move your mind down to your eye muscle, do the same, feel and relax them. Any tension, any tightness, or any stress within you, relax it. Then you sweep it down to your facial muscle, feel and relax. Make sure each and every strand of your facial muscle is soothingly relaxed. And in order to assist you further, you can radiate metta or loving kindness to yourself. Before that, you can visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. That smile is very important. When you can smile, you have joy, you feel good, and your muscle relax by itself, especially the facial muscle. So while you radiate the radiant smile, you can also radiate this love or metta. You can recite after me, may I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. You must feel it when you recite, may I, this body and mind of mine, you feel your body and mind, be free of all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. Feel it, feel it. Then the first one is, may my body and mind be well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness within your own body and mind. Each and every cells within your body, your physical, then your mental, the well-being and the peacefulness. So you can repeat, may I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness within. Then, may it too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May its mind state still be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy. Then if you want, you can continue to radiate this same metta to your loved ones. Then to all beings within this vicinity, to all Kayanamita or meditator, cultivator who are together with us today. Then you can also radiate this same metta to all beings within the entire of Subangjaya, Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, our entire planet. Then you can extend it to our solar system, our galaxy, our Milky Way, then to all beings throughout the entire universe. Do the same. May all beings within the entire existence be well and happy, well and happy. Free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. Free from all harm and danger. May their mind state still be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. Then you come back to your facial muscle, feel, relax every part of it. Then maintain your smile, your radiant smile. Then you move your attention down to your neck, shoulder, hand, back to shoulder. Just feel and relax every part of it. Then you move your attention down to your chest or heart area. Just feel, silent everything and just feel. You can detect any heartbeat or vibration within your heart. You just silence your mind completely and stay. Stay. Be with it. But if you are new, not sensitive, then it's okay. You can just feel, like you feel your forehead, then detect if there is any tightness, tension or stress within you. Just feel it soothingly, relax, 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 and relax every part within your chest area or heart area. Then you move your attention down to your stomach. Do the same. Feel, relax. Sweep it down to your abdomen. Feel, relax. Then to your leg. Feel, relax. Then your buttock. Then you can repeat this mind sweeping method by reversing it. Feel the buttock, relax. Then the leg, feel, relax. Then move your mind to be aware of your abdomen. Feel, relax. Then move to your stomach. Feel, relax. Then move on to your heart area. Do the same. Feel, relax. Then you sweep it up to your shoulder, hand, back to the shoulder, neck, feel, relax. Then your facial muscle, do the same, feel, relax every part. Eye muscle, feel, relax, relax and relax every part. Your forehead, do the same, feel, relax. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. You got less thought, little or no thought. Then you can stabilize this inner peace or inner calmness or inner mindfulness. If you got any object of meditation that you are familiar with, you can use it to stabilize this meditative mind, which is the inner peace and the inner calmness together with the inner mindfulness. If you don't have any object of meditation, then you can use either mindfulness of the in and out breath, anapanasati as taught by the Buddha, or any chanting, Buddha or whatever, or even Mahayana chanting. For those who don't have any meditation object, you just maintain mindfulness of the in and out breath. To do that is very simple. Like you feel your forehead, now you feel your breathing in front of your nostril. Just silence everything and just feel. Then your breath will breathe in, breathe out naturally. Then when you start to feel, you can detect your breathing. Just like you feel your forehead, it's the same. The moment you detect your breathing, allow the mind to follow. Like the Buddha said, breathing in, you are aware. Breathing out, you are aware. Every time the mind wanders off, you just patiently bring it back. Just train. If you are calm and patient, you will develop this anapanasati. You can come pretty fast. For those who have the faith, maybe 5-10 minutes, you will familiarize with it. Then after that, when you continue to train, you can stabilize it. Yeah. Then when anapanasati gets into motion, you are mindful of the breathing in and out breath. There is no more thought, no more thinking. And that is the deep mindfulness. The breath and the mind move as one without thought. And when you can do that, you become very calm, very peaceful. You will experience a type of spiritual calmness, which they call piti, or spiritual joy, spiritual rapture. When piti arises, you just continue to relax into it and maintain the anapanasati movement, then continue to relax to stabilize it. Then after that, not long, piti will transform into a more refined mind state, which they call sukha. Sukha is a very blissful state of mind. You experience spiritual blissfulness, not only calmness, spiritual blissfulness. Then as you continue to relax, the mind becomes more and more quiet, until finally it becomes pasati. Pasati is tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind, the meditative mind. When you hit that, you just relax and silent everything and just feel, maintain awareness. By then your breathing, everything or object of meditation will become very subtle. This is the point of meditation where you have to realize that when you hit that point, you just silent everything and don't do anything. That is in fact your meditative mind, the silent mind. The mind that is already in sati. But initially, because it is not stable, that's why you cannot stabilize it. You need the object of meditation to anchor this mind so that it does not run. But when it reached that subtle state of pasati, you just stay there. No movement. Never mind, just stay there. If you are patient, if you stay there long enough in that silence, initially you can anchor it to your breathing if you want to. Then later on it will drop to your heart. Then you will be surprised when your mind is in sati. You don't need a stethoscope to feel your own heartbeat. Then whatever vibration, wherever you locate your mind, you can feel it. And that is the sati that you have developed. So I will let you meditate on your own. Yeah? Then I will ring the bell after about 5 to 10 minutes. others are still want to meditate, you can continue. Others have been up slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed for as long as you can. These are the mind state that you have to train. Then after that, you have to carry this trained mind state into your daily life so that you can live life with that type of trained mind, which is calm, peaceful, and aware within. The untrained mind think a lot, heedlessly wanders off, become heedless. The mind that is trained listen to you. You want it to be silent, peaceful, it will just do that. You want it to be aware, it will just be aware. Then you want it to arise, to develop whatever activity, it will just do that, but with full awareness within. Okay, now we turn to page 6. We will do the invocation to the devas. Then we will recite the salutation to the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the devas or deities come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sage, which gives heaven and Nibbana release. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Okay. Then we will chant the Pali together. Samanta Chakawalesu Atra gacchantu devata saddhammang muni rajasa sunantu sakka mokkhadang dhamma savanankalo ayang badanta dhamma savanankalo ayang badanta Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vijacarana sampanno sugato lokavido Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva manusanang Buddho bhagavati Swakato bhagavata dhammo Sanditiko akaliko Ehi paseko Opanayiko pachatang veditabo vinohiti Supatipano bhagavato savakasango Ujupatipano bhagavato savakasango Nyaya patipanno bhagavato savakasango Samichi patipanno bhagavato savakasango Yadidang chattari purisa yukani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato savakasango Ahuneyo, ahuneyo, dakeneyo, anjali karaniyo, anuterang punyaketang lokasati. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay homage to Tripaja. Padang Pujayami. Damang Pujayami. Sanghang Pujayami. Okay, you can be seated. Reporting of meditation. Second session is reporting of meditation, followed by whatever question or related meditation practices you can ask. Whatever question that is related to the meditation or the teaching, and how you can apply what you have learned here. For you to understand clearly what is going on in your life and how you can develop this Dhamma understanding to help you overcome whatever life situation or problem that you have. You can also discuss on that. Okay, we open it up. Anybody who has any reporting or question, raise your hand. Oh, we have the mic. Where is that mic? Oh, here. Anybody? Just report your meditation just now over the last 40 minutes or so. Who is it? GY. Oh, okay. Yeah. We wait for Susan Dale. GY. Where is it? Sadhu. Long time haven't seen ya, Sadhu. Yeah, come to you. We just finished meditation, so now Q&A. Question and answer. Sadhu, Susan, Sadhu, for taking care of Radhasya. Yeah, sit down anywhere. Give him a chair. Then sit on the couch there. Sit on the couch there. Better, Jive. Sit there. Sit there. The couch there is good. I also sit on the chair now. Because this body, you like it or not, you cannot try to be a hero. Because the posture is not critical. The more critical part is your physical body. Your physical body must be in a posture that best suit you, so that you feel relaxed. Then you can train your mind. Chi Wei is still very, very healthy. At his age, I tell you, not many people can do that. 70 plus coming to it. 78, actually, normally most people at this age cannot see them meditate like that. But Chi Wei, very strong faith. He has been in the Dhamma very long. And he's our super senior in University Malaya, engineering student. Very, very bright student at that time. This was the early batch of University Malaya. Yes. Sui An, me and Mi Fong, we also graduated from University of Malaya. So we knew how difficult it was, even for our time. We were 16 years his junior. You just imagine. Even 16 years as junior, that time was not easy to go into University of Malaya to study engineering. But nevertheless, all of us did it. Then Sui An is one of the very bright one, first class honors, for your information. He is very, very bright. Academically, he is very good. That's why you see when he sent out those WhatsApp electrical thing, you better ask him. Then he can check for you whether the WhatsApp message is, whether it's a hoax. How you pronounce hoax? Hoax. Hoax. Whether it's hoax or authentic. Okay, now coming back to meditation, reporting, and question and answer. Anybody wants to ask any question or report your meditation experience, you can. Just raise your hand. Never mind, Susan. Take your time. Have a drink. Get some water. Oh, anybody got manuka sweet? There's some sweet. Fisherman. You give her one. Oh, she don't want. Okay. Nobody want to report meditation. Then what do you want me to share on tonight? Maybe I revise last Thursday on. Last Thursday one was very good, very interesting. I didn't rub off everything. I leave behind some. Okay, to start the ball rolling, maybe we go through last Thursday. I forgot what was the question already. There was one lady who asked a question. Christina, what was the question? Sloth and Topper. Sloth and Topper. So what is sloth and topper? Sleepiness of mind, isn't it? Lethargic mind. The mind is like sleepy, very dull. Why? How do you experience this? The Buddha called it a mental hindrance. Hindrance means it will hinder you from entering the meditative state or inner peace, inner calmness and inner awareness. That's why you cannot meditate. When you have sloth and topper, you just doze off. Then you feel very sleepy. The mind like just want to shut down. But it can shut down very good. The problem is it doesn't shut down. It makes you feel that state. So what are you going to do? Under the teaching. The hint are all here. For those who can recall. You see, the Buddha said there are five mental hindrances that can make your mind heedless, think a lot. It hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner calmness. And this one we have gone through many times. The first two, like I explained just now before the meditation, sensual desire and ill will. These are one pair. The Buddha called it the duality of sense experience. Whenever you experience something through your seeing consciousness, when you are conscious of what you see, or what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel or think, we call it sense experience. So sense experience, when they arise, that's why I put here the six internal sense bases and the six external sense bases. When they come into contact with the mind, it will arise mental consciousness. When you don't have the wisdom, yoniso manasikara, when you have ignorant, ayoniso manasikara. So at the moment of sense experience, let's say it's your eye, EYE, then there is visual form, color, shape and form from external. So when these two come into contact, like the physics experiment, the light bulb will light up. You become conscious of what you see. But at that time when you see, it's just a seeing consciousness, no one to see. But the trouble with most living beings is because of self-delusion, ignorance. They associate with the seeing. So through delusion, you cling. You say, I see. Then through your conditioning, your views, your opinion, your belief system, your whatever conditioning from your culture, your race, your tradition, and all those things. Because living beings, they always cling on to the memory. That's why I put here, the living being or the human being is just a bundle of memories with his conditioning, views and opinion and belief system and tradition, etc. So you are actually defined by this, where you think this is all you are. That's why you have your entity. You say, I'm Chinese, I'm a male, I am 60 over years old. Then I have a belief system, I'm a Buddhist or I'm a Christian. Then you have your own views and opinion of things based on your conditioning since birth until now. You can be conditioned by your own civilization, your culture, the race that you take, your belief system, and when you go to school, the media, the internet, everything play a role. Then you accumulate all this into memories. Your memories is all your accumulated memories, good and bad, since birth until now. And from there you respond. That's why thought is respond to memory. Through memory, you create your own entity. And this is self-delusion. This is not real. This is not you. This is like a machine. It's just like your physical experiment. Upon contact, the light bulb light up, you become conscious. But through delusion, you attach to what you see. You associate with what you see. Then you input the content of consciousness. So if this content of consciousness is with delusion, then there is ayoniso manasikara, which is unwise attention at the moment of sense experience. Means the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion went in. So when it went in, what happened? What happened to you? You will react to what you see there. Because you are deluded. You think you exist. Then you got certain like and dislike. Craving. So whatever you like to see, beautiful form or pleasant form, then you attach, you cling, you create sensual desire. But whatever that you don't like, you just reject it. That's why you develop the ill will, dislike for it. So your like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience, throughout the day you create them. So the Buddha said, when you create this, with every moment of sense experience, when you see something, hear something, smell, taste, tactile, feel, or thing, you keep on creating the duality. And these two are mental hindrance. If you do it until it's so habitual, what happens? Means throughout the day you create mental hindrance. So how can you be peaceful? How can you enter the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness? That's why you become heedless. You think a lot. Because you keep on reacting to sense experience. Then this sense experience is your delusion. You stir your mind, you react to it. Then when mental hindrance is so intense, it becomes habitual. Means throughout the day you create them. That's why with this, how can you meditate? That's why you find it so difficult to meditate. So this mental hindrance is a pair. It corresponds with the first two evil roots of greed and hatred. That's why it's sensual desire and ill will. So they have their evil roots. They will make you evil. They will make you attached, cling. Then the Buddha said, the attachment, the clinging, the grasping is the cause of suffering. Craving is the cause of suffering. That's why upadana khandas, the five aggregates of grasping, they bring about suffering. So this is very important. So in the teaching, the Buddha said, when you meditate, you start off by developing the training of the mind to be mindful. That's why sati comes first, the first factor of enlightenment. So when you train your mind to be mindful, you have no other choice because the mental hindrance are there. That's why you have to use the object of meditation. That's why all meditation teachers, they teach you object of meditation. He said, you use this object of meditation. You note rising, falling, or you note anapanasati, or you do chanting and all those things. So these are actually skillful means to anchor the mind. Because this mind thinks a lot. With the hindrance, it wanders off. It cannot become peaceful. So the only way to make them peaceful is they go and focus or concentrate on the object of meditation so that the thought has something to anchor, to hold on to, like your breathing or your rising and falling, or any part of your body. Can be your chanting and all those things. So this is just a skillful mean to anchor the mind so that the mind does not become heedless, does not become lost in thought. Because your mind can only do one thing at a time. Either it's silent and aware, or it is lost in thought, thinking. You can follow, eh? Lost in thought, thinking. When you are thinking, what happens? You are preoccupied with the thinking, the thought process. So when you are thinking, you cannot be aware, true or not? Because you are preoccupied with what you think. And the worst is, you have your views, opinion, conditioning. So this will stir your thought. That's why every moment of sense experience, when you start to think, inside there, the duality of happiness and unhappiness, like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant, that's why your mood swing between these two. That's why it creates more and more mental hindrance, even at the mental level. And these hindrances are so strong. Because when you think through your sankhara, you not only create like and dislike, when you think of something that is fearful, what happens? You develop fear, worry, anxiety. Then when you think of something unpleasant, maybe you recall your unhappy past, scars of memory, or phobia and all those things. So you create fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation. Your mind state become negative. So when these arise, these are hindrances. That's why your mind become restless. Because of the fear, the worry, the anxiety. It cannot calm down. It become restless because of your worry, your anxiety. Behind it is the fear. Then when you are not sure, when there is doubt, you also not peaceful. Because you are not sure whether to do this or not to do this. What are you going to do? You have like dilemma and other things. And you cannot recall what the Buddha taught because you didn't really commit yourself to the cultivation. So your faith is not there. That's why you have doubt. Then you worry. To do or not to do. You cannot make decision. Then you become like completely heedless. Then you have a lot of suffering, a lot of misery. Then when you meditate, when you don't see the importance of this mental training, this meditation, you become sleepy. Because like you go to a class, attend a lecture. If that subject you don't like, what happened? You go in, you feel sleepy because you don't understand what the lecturer or teacher is trying to teach you. And it's very boring. The more you listen, the more sleepy you become. So these are mental states that make you heedless, think a lot, create all these hindrances to prevent you from becoming peaceful. So the Buddha said, this is what you have to be aware of. That's why under the teaching, you start off with the Dhamma Nupassana, the fourth foundation of mindfulness. Under Dhamma Nupassana, he said, the first one is to be mindful of the five mental aggregates. Five mental hindrances. The first category of cultivation is mindfulness of the five mental hindrances. Then the second category is five aggregates of form and mind. Then the third category is six sense bases, internal and external. Then the fourth one is the seven factors of enlightenment. Then the last one is the four noble truths. Yeah. Four noble truths. Okay, I write here. I write up here. Four noble truths. Mm. So this is the fifth one. Eh? So from here, you go up. Mm. So now you ask yourself, why did the Buddha say you have to be mindful of the five mental hindrances, the first category of practice? And this is what the teaching is all about. But people don't understand this anymore. Under the Satipatthana Sutta, Dhammanupassana, the first category of cultivation is mindfulness of the five mental hindrances. So the Buddha said, don't fight this hindrance. Don't control it. Don't suppress it. Don't do anything with it. Just be aware. Mindful. That's why he said, when the mental hindrance of sensual desire is there, you must be aware. Then when the mental hindrance of ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness and doubt is there, aware. What does the Buddha mean? Aware means what? Don't reject it. Don't say that this is bad meditation. Anasana. Every time when people have this mental hindrance, they say my meditation very lousy. They are like unhappy with their meditation. And what is that? Mental hindrance. You will you don't like. But when you can calm yourself down, because after you train it for a while, you go and sit. First time you experience the piti, the sukha, the blissfulness, and the peacefulness of mind, you feel very good. Then you have attachment, craving. Then after a while, you want it repeated, but it doesn't come. You struggle very hard. You say, last time I can do, now I cannot do. Aversion comes. That's why you oscillate between these two, and that is not meditation. To me, meditation is not about peacefulness of mind or calmness for you to attach. Then you think you have done your meditation well, you progress. No, this is creating attachment leading to suffering. Because when you attach to memory, you recall. That's why acting according to memory is not acting at all. Because this is experience. Then you tell yourself, last time I can do it. Why now I cannot? Like good food, huh? First time you eat very good, isn't it? If every day ask you to eat, what happens? After the third or fourth meal, I tell you, you tell your spouse, I think today we, for a change, we go for something else. Meditation is the same. Initially, when you have an experience, it is very, very blissful, very nice. But when it becomes too common, too easy to get, then you look for something higher, understand? But the problem with cultivators is they cannot remember how they went into those states. Somehow they, by accident, they hit it. Or after a long time of suffering, pain and all those things, the third day only they experience some peace or calmness when they persevere. So what is happening is all this will create memory. Then they will tell themselves, I need to do it until that calmness come back to me, that beautiful meditative experience come back to me. That's why every off and on in the retreat or what, meditator just want to sit and develop the peacefulness, the calmness. Then the characteristics of impermanence is there. The Buddha say, whatever mind state, they are all conditioned arising, cause of phenomena. If you cannot understand that, you keep on wanting it to remain, what happened? It will change. When conditions cease to be, it will cease to be. Then you experience the opposite. Then you become unhappy. You say meditation no good. That's why you keep on creating these two. That's why it cannot stabilize. So the Buddha said, don't fight. Don't react. Cultivate the opposite five spiritual faculty. And because this opposite five spiritual faculty, they are still not stable. That's why you develop this hindrance. That's why you cannot meditate. So when you cannot meditate, what you need to do is actually to develop some skillful means to decondition this heedless thinking, at least during the first 10 minutes before you meditate. Because these are mind states you carry over from your daily life. In the midst of life, you create the hindrance until it becomes so habitual. That's why throughout the day, if you are heedlessly creating mental hindrance, how can you have the peacefulness of mind? It will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. That's why in the midst of life, daily life, you cannot have that heedfulness, that mindfulness, that awareness within, where you haven't trained. Your spiritual faculty is not there. And this one take over. So the Buddha said, don't worry. Don't fight it. Don't suppress it. Don't control it. Don't become unhappy over it. Just be aware of what is going on and investigate into it. Then you will develop the wisdom. That's why under the teaching, the Buddha said, mindful of the five mental hindrance. So initially, when hindrance arise, especially sensual desire, you must be aware. But most people refuse to be aware because that mind state is very good. When you meditate, wow, very peaceful, very calm, you want it repeated. Actually, that craving is there, but you don't see. And that essential desire, you are attaching to the good state of mind. Then after that, when you have pain, sleepiness, restlessness of mind, numbness, and all the disturbance of meditation, what happened? You develop aversion, dislike. And the worst is, they teach you how to note that pain. When you note pain, 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 what are you doing? You are creating mental hindrance. So when you create mental hindrance, how can you meditate? It will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner calmness. The other thing is, you verbalize. You verbalize that sensation into a negative feeling. That's why the Buddha said, when feeling arises, you must be aware. When feeling has become pleasant or unpleasant feeling, you must be aware. Aware means what? It has shifted from a normal sensation into mental hindrance. That's why it's like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. And when hindrance arise, you cannot be peaceful. Well, your meditative state cannot come about. Well, it hinders you. So what the Buddha said is, under the five mental hindrance, he said, you're just aware. Aware means what? I wrote here, aware. Even sloth and torpor, same. A better example would be anger. I use anger first. When there is anger, very agitated here and there, anger was not there before it arises. When you see something or recall something that you are not happy with, that's how you stir your mind and become angry. Or somebody scold you, assault you, or blame you. It's through one of the senses, from what you see or what you hear or what you think. These three doors are very powerful. So when anger arises, what happened? The Buddha said, just be aware. Aware means what? Don't react to it. Don't label it. Don't verbalize it. Don't conceptualize it. Just stay silent. Feel. Then find out what happened. When you are mindful of it, the Buddha said, you will come to understand how the unarisen mental hindrance come to be. Before anger arise, there was no anger in there. Then when it arise, because you are mindful, you will come to know how it come about. Well, before that, there was no anger. Then you continue to relax and just aware, what happened to anger? when you don't feed it any more mental thinking, you don't get more angry over what the thought tell you. You can accept that reality for what it is. You're just silent and aware. What happened? All agitated state, whether sensual desire or ill will, they will just dissipate, slowly, slowly dissipate. Go back to the true mind. The true mind before the stirring, there was no sensual desire, no ill will. These are conditioned arising state, dependent originating, because you have the organ, your five physical organ. Then there is external sense object, sense data. Upon contact, consciousness come about. So these are natures happening, dependent originating. So if you silence your mind and don't allow your wrong view to create delusion, to create the stirring of the mind, the reaction, this mind become peaceful. And then the Buddha said, you will come to be aware of how the arisen mental hindrance cease to be. And this is meditation. That's why the Buddha said there are five ways to overcome unwholesome thought. You remember? What are the five ways? First two are thought-based. He said, think of the direct opposite wholesome thought. When you have anger, think of metta, loving-kindness. When you have metta and loving-kindness, you cannot be angry. That's why it helps to overcome. But temporary, where you are using a skillful mind, a thought, thought-based meditation. Then if that one, after a while, doesn't work, the Buddha said, you move on to the second one. What is the second one? Second way. Think of the consequence of holding on to that evil roots or that wrong thought, which can be anger, selfishness, or fear or delusion. Because these are evil roots, root of all evil, make you evil. That's why you have to abandon it. There's a right effort to abandon the unwholesome thought that has arisen. When you think of the direct opposite, you can abandon it. Then when you think of the consequence of holding on to it, like anger, hatred, it's an evil root, make you evil, can make you violent, can make you kill people, can make you very, very evil. So when you investigate into it and tell yourself, my life, I don't want to end up with all this karmic negativity, then in future I reap what I sow. People will scold me, abuse me, get violent with me. So if that is not what you want, then arise the right effort to abandon the anger or the mental hindrance. Okay? These are all thought-based, not meditation. The third way is the meditation. What did the Buddha say? Just aware, silent. And that is meditation. That's why meditation is sati, mindfulness. So when you are aware, it means you are in sati. What is awareness? Huh? Awareness is just aware before the knowing, means before the arising of thought. So sati is awareness before the knowing, before the arising of thought, before the perception, before the thinking, before the mental activity, the reaction and the stirring, before you respond from here. That's why the Buddha said, in the seeing, it's only the seeing consciousness. Just the pure perception, the pure awareness. No concept, no labeling, nothing. Just seeing as they are. So when this arises, means you are in sati. Sati means aware, no thought. Okay? Can follow? When you are just aware, you don't think, there is no thought. No thought means what? No reaction, no stirring of the mind. That's why no mental hindrance. Because when you don't think, you're just aware, the mind does not stir. But the moment you input the content, you perceive it with negativity or wrong view according to your memories, your conditioning, your views and your opinion, then you stir your mind. You can follow. Yeah? So that's why here, aware means no thought. No thought means No fear, no worry, no anxiety, no mental hindrance, nothing. Aware here means you're just silent and be with that whatever mental hindrance when they arise. Especially sloth and torpor. Very few people can break this. And I broke this 30 years ago. I just stay with it. I didn't resist. I didn't react. I didn't reject sloth and torpor. Because this one actually came and test me at that time. Yeah. But because of my past, that's why I know what to do. Actually, I was very good at my anapanasati during the early years. And I can meditate until I got no mental hindrance for a very long time already. Then all of a sudden, one day, he come and test me. You know. For no reason, no, I just sit. I become quiet, peaceful, silent. Then for no reason, this sloth and torpor came. No. It was so heavy, you know, that the nature, because it has the understanding, all of a sudden this one came. I didn't even know it was a test. Then I just acknowledged it. Like the Buddha said, aware. I don't label it. I just allow it. When you don't have the reaction to it, when you don't have the dislike towards that sloth and torpor, you know what happened to your mental state? You have acceptance. Understand? Acceptance means what? No resistance. That's why I say, don't resist. Accept it. Then, be with it. Stay with it. Just like the Buddha said, just aware. You don't introduce any more wrong view and mental energy. Whatever condition arising state, they will cease to be. Like Krishnamurti said, you remember the famous quote? The very flowering of that thought, which can be anger or hatred or fear, is the very ending of that thought. You know what is flowering? When the flower flower until it wither off, what happened? Means completely flower until wither. Means no more. Understand? So you allow that condition arising state, which can be anger or fear, to arise. And because you're just silent and don't give it any more mental energy, you don't resist, don't react, you don't stir it anymore, it will go back to its original state. Because the original state of mind is your true mind without thought. Peacefulness, silent, aware, tranquil. That is the silent mind. That is your true mind. The rest are all conditioned arising mind, sankhara, mundane mind, not real. That is the one that entangle you, condition you to grasp and hold, where you give meaning, you think they are real. Then you cling, like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant. So meditation is about understanding. When you understand, you're just aware, relax, silent, don't resist, be with it. It will disappear. It will cease to be. So when it ceases to be, it's like the Satipatthana said, when you are just mindful, then you will come to understand how the arisen mental hindrance ceases to be. It will cease to be because it's dependent originating. It's a condition arising state, not intrinsic to your true mind. This all arises through delusion, wrong view. That's why you have to straighten your view. That's why at that time when it came and test me, at first I didn't know it was a test. I just stayed with it. I did not resist. I accept it. I stay with it. I don't create mental hindrance. Then I maintain awareness. That's why this one, the four support, relax, aware. 24 hours is maintain awareness. How to spell? I-N, correct? You just maintain this awareness, silent, stay there. And you know what happened? I was so amazed, you know, at that time, because I didn't resist, I just silent. So sati take over. And what is sati? It's one of the spiritual faculties, understand? there is no mental hindrance. And because I was just aware, all of a sudden, within a flash of a lightning, the whole sloth and torpor mind state disappeared. Then there was this brightness of light flashed through my mind. Then that nature is so different after that. Then this nature is so full of energy, the virya, the other spiritual faculty of virya come. Then there was clarity. It just away. Then it was so amazing. Then the faith becomes so strong. This is what the Buddha meant. By this mindfulness of the five mental hindrance. Then I tried to check at that time. Very strange. I went down and checked. Completely gone. Then I said, how can it just disappear like that? Then later on, when I came out of the meditation, then only I realized I didn't create mental hindrance. I follow what the Buddha said, mindful. I just silent, aware, mindful, do not resist, be with it. Then it ceases. It just flashed through. Pain also, I did it. I didn't label it. We are in one of the retreat. Retreat. How painful that pain can be, especially every day walking, sitting without understanding. But luckily, I did with understanding. So, I walk differently. I walk naturally. Then when I sit, I just sit. But because it was a 5 days retreat. So on the third day, every day, they got fixed sitting up, meditation. Initially start with 1 hour sitting, then 2 hours sitting, then they start to extend it. So after the second day, the third day, I tell you, the moment you sit, very fast the pain come on. But because I didn't label it, I just relax and I just silent. Then it reached the intensity that is so strong, even the mind find it very difficult to endure. Then very strange, inside, suddenly, the nature said, you remember how the Buddha break through? After the muck rise, underneath the Bodhi tree. He said, not until he is enlightened, he will not arise from that seat. Even when the sinus, the blood or what dry up, also he will not stand up. But I was not so brave. I just say, okay, I will see through this pain. I will endure. I was silent. So I hope like the sloth and torpor, it will go. Then I just relax, I silent and wait and deal. Until it reach a point where the thought come in and interfere. You know what the thought tell me? You better arise, otherwise you become paralyzed. What will you do when you have this type of thought telling you? What will you do? You will move your leg. But I didn't. Inside, I said, never mind. Paralyzed. I just want to understand. Yeah, this is a very important noble truth. The first noble truth of suffering, the Buddha said, is to be understood. I need to understand this. What really is this pain? It's suffering within suffering. Dukkha, dukkata. Suffering within the form. Because we have a physical form. When you cross your leg and put pressure on it, when the chi cannot flow, it creates what they call tactile sensation, which become like stress inside there. That's why that feeling, or that sensation, we call it sensation. You label it as pain because you don't like that sensation, and it's so difficult to endure. What happened was, when I decided to sit through it, regardless of whether I paralyze or not, the mind become very strong. That is what determination is. I determine. Then I said, I continue to relax. I continue to endure. Then all of a sudden, like the sloth and torpor, it really flashes through. Then the whole sensation gone. Then I felt very light. That flash of light completely transformed the mind state. That sensation no more. No? Then I went down and checked with the awareness. My eye is still closed. I went down and checked because I have trained this mind to be at whichever location I want it to be. I stay there. And you know what I found on it? There was no wood or no. The so-called pulling and all those things. I saw that phenomenon inside there. You know. Then I realized the mind is the mind. You know. The body is the body. You know. The form is the form. You know. Then only I realized that my mind has detached. That mind, which is pure awareness, has actually separated. Then the phenomenon is the phenomenon. The sensation is a sensation. But no word, nothing. That is not connected. But then later only I realized there is such a jnana. You know what is jnana? Insight knowledge. The first jnana. What is that? Nama rupa paricheda jnana. What is that first jnana? You all haven't heard of that. Yeah? Able to discern clearly between what is mind and what is form. Then only I realized that is the one. Not what the book says. The book says the mind that knows the form as form and the consciousness and the mind and its content as mind is the first jnana. No, it's in the meditation. When your mind really separates, it's still within, but that is the mundane mind. But the awareness which is beyond the mundane mind can separate. That's why the Buddha said when the body is sick, do not allow your mind to be sick. That is the meaning. Understand? Yeah? Can follow? So I come back to this. Yeah? You just maintain awareness. No matter what hindrance arise, you just maintain awareness, silent. The key is relax. If you don't relax, the qi cannot flow. That's why because I relax into it and maintain awareness, I did not create ill will, mental hindrance. And because this mental hindrance was not there, the spiritual faculty took over. That's why this sati flashed through. Then virya, spiritual zeal, come about. That's why sloth and torpor, no more. Then the mind become different, brightness, just aware. Then it was so amazing. You know? After that, wherever I locate this maya, I can feel everything inside there, you know, so clearly. Even my brain inside, the activity, you know, I can feel it. Wherever I locate, even at the heartbeat becomes so clear. All the vibration within the whole body becomes so clear, because the sati is different. And from that moment onward, almost 20 over to 30 years, I think it's about 88 or 89, I remember. Until today, I don't have problem with pain. I got no more problem with pain. I can just sit and relax like that. Yeah. Unless the body gets older. Then, like recently, my right leg, one of the ligament, I think, I don't know whether it's nerve or ligament, I don't know. I can feel it, one of them. Yeah. That's why yesterday, the other day after Tuesday class, I asked Vincent to check. Wow, you know, the way he checked, he whack you. It was good. But this one, because as you age, as you walk, and what, if you are not careful, because I got very little muscle, I relax too much. Didn't exercise enough. I must exercise a bit. So this right leg is like giving me a bit of problem. Yeah. But I can still relax and sit. Yeah, I want to sit, I can still sit. But no point. Understand? Not? Why you want to be a hero, subject your body to all this type of thing? When you know it is due to nature's situation, means the physical is like the car. The car. That part is already wear and tear. Got that problem already. You somehow want to be a hero and run that car, I tell you, it will break down. Understand? Not? That's why you don't try. But car, you can replace. This one cannot replace. Even doctors don't know which nerve and which vein, and they cannot replace. But hopefully Vincent Dale can help to fix it. I don't know. After one session, slightly better already. That's why nowadays, last time I sit through 3 hour, 4 hour, no problem. You can see me sitting down there. But nowadays, that's why I told Chi Wei, sit on the couch. It's not the posture, it's whatever that is most comfortable to you that can allow you to meditate and develop this mind. Ultimately, it's wisdom that frees you. So when you understand, this can help you break through. Then the Buddha said, after you have understood how the unarisen mental hindrance comes to be, then you continue to be mindful, then it disappears. Then you will come to know how the arisen mental hindrance come to be. Means you don't have to fight it, don't have to resist it. You just have to maintain spiritual faculty, especially sati and the faith, sada. Then diligently through the virya, then you will come to understand. Then this one, the third way, is actually just one of the skillful means to let you understand how to overcome all this unwholesome thought. But you have to live life on the sadhana. So every time you get angry, you cannot just come back and sit down, silent, and let it disappear. Of course, it helps you, understand? You become peaceful again. But then when you go out into life, what happens? You can still get angry, understand? Which means your problem is not rooted out. Resolved, temporary, but not rooted out. So the Buddha taught you the fourth way. What is the fourth way? The Buddha said, trace the origination factor. How does anger and fear come to be? How does sloth and torpor come to be? Then retrospectively, through that understanding, which is also mindfulness, you reverse it and develop the wisdom. And that one is under the 6 internal and 6 external sense basis, mindfulness of this. So the Buddha said, when you cultivate this third category of practice, what happens? When you are fully aware of your internal sense basis and the external sense data, how upon contact? That's why the Buddha said, you go and read the sutta, you know. When this eye and visual form comes together through contact of mind, what happened? The fetters arise. This fetter is the one that binds you in samsara. Understand? Because sakkaya ditti, the content of consciousness, ayoniso manasikara, unwise attention at the moment of sense experience. When these two come together, consciousness arises, then through your delusion, your memory, your wrong view, your conditioning, you stir, you react, and you input your content of consciousness. That's why you have kusala and akusala, citta. You know what is that? Wholesome and unwholesome consciousness, content of consciousness. So this is the one that the Buddha said, you trace. Then you realize every time you get angry, it's because of what you see or what people say to you, what you hear when they abuse you, when they scold you, when they blame you, or somebody you have disliked towards. You recall through memory the thought process. Then you perceive that being with negativity. That's why in Thailand, you remember those who went with me to what? Nalong? That mon lady. Eh? She told me, she said, after she listened to my Dhamma, she was so interested. She said, I got a question for you. How come when I saw my husband, I think he married not long, when he scold me, I get very agitated, very unhappy. I feel like telling him off, reacting and all those things. But when I see other people abusing or what, I don't get angry. I don't feel it. Then when he perceives other people whom he may not know, although he does not have that type of negativity towards the person. Then I explained to her, I said, very simple, where you attach. You think you are married, you think that one is your husband, your spouse. That's why you have this attachment. That's why you get very angry with him, unhappy. But if it's somebody you don't know, you will not react the same way. And this is what attachment is all about. Clinging, grasping, craving. You want things your way. And when things don't go your way, you suffer. You become afflicted. So this is what actually all this Dhammanupassana meditation is all. When you are mindful, you will see them arising through one of your sense doors. Your sixth sense door, one of them. Then when they arise, you realize they arise because of your wrong view, your delusion, your ignorance. Because you perceive them through memory with negativity. Even that day, after what Nalong came down, I think Pamasuri also got a question for me, which later developed into a lot of understanding. Pamasuri, you want to share? Okay, I help her to explain. She came down from that Wat Na Long, when we were at the base there waiting for the bus. She was among the early batch that came down. So she came and asked me, is it Brad Teo, how come this time is so different, is it? Last time when I went for this spiritual trip, Wat Na Long or whatever, I got so much joy, you know. Understand? Because we went there, and of Vasa get to offer the rope to Long Po Tong Bai, because of the condition that Mifong Suyan and Samkayamita, who went 3 years ago, they received the what they call condition to offer. Then there was so much joy, you know. Then the next day, after the Vasa, 90 monks and many Meiji, first day of Pindapat, we also get to offer the meals, to sponsor the whole meal and did the Pindapat. He said, a lot of Kanyamita was full of joy, you understand? Full of happiness. Then especially Mifong later share, before he do, was it you? You will have joy, happiness. When you do, also joy, happiness. Then after you do, also so much joy and happiness. And this is what the Buddha said. The highest merits for material offering, you need three conditions to reap the benefit, the maximum benefit. Somanasa sahagatang, jnana sambayutang, asamkalikang. Means, at all time when you make offering, before you make the offering, you must have this joy, happiness. When you make the offering that time, you must have this joy and happiness. After you have make the offering, you must also have joy and happiness. That is the first condition. That's why somanasa sahagatang. Sahagatang is rejoice. Somanasa is like Malay word, sumwa masa, at all times. Then jnana sampayutang, you know with wisdom that this thing is very wholesome, brings about a lot of goodness, a lot of wholesomeness. It's true wisdom that you do. You don't do because you believe other people tell you, because you have cultivated. You know this is very special and very rare an occasion to perform such wholesomeness and merits. And because of causes and conditions, you get to do. Then the last one is asankrikam, means unprompted. You just do because condition arise for you to do. You are not being prompted by other people. Hey, go make offering. Good. So these three conditions, when you fulfill, you will have a lot of wholesomeness. Then what Pamasuri worry was, he said, how come now I don't have joy anymore? Not like last time. Before I give, I got so much joy. When I give, I got so much joy. After I give, I got so much joy. He said, the mind like shut down. What do you think? No. I said, this is memory. Understand? Memory. That's why defilement come back through back door. This is attachment to memory. And what did the Buddha say? Sabba Asavak Sutta. I said, you have to be careful. I said, this is your thought coming back again. And this is from memory. Because she recalled to memory, last time there is so much joy, but now how come I cannot have that joy? Means you have doubt, correct? How come last time I can, now I cannot? So I say, luckily you met me. If I tell you, wow, you have equanimity, like what they say, then you will be very happy. Then you didn't even know it was a defilement. Then later on she realized, yeah, memory. That's why acting according to memory is not acting at all. I say, what is meditation? What is cultivation? Most important thing is what? Are you heedful? Are you aware? Are you mindful within the moment? It's nothing to do with whether you have joy or you don't have joy. Understand or not? Like you are observing that nowadays, unless got condition, I don't do anymore. You realize or not? I didn't do any pinapat there. Even in Australia, I think Chiwe, they all will realize. I never make offering anymore. The pinapat, I just ask you all to do. I say, go ahead, do. Then you know that doctor, that Christian Catholic, Bernard Au. Bernard. He was observing me, you know. Then he also heard what I said. I told other people, I said, you go ahead, don't worry about me. You just go and do it. It's very wholesome. You know? Then that night, when you all offer candle and all those things, he was walking with me. You know? He asked me, he said, Brother Teo, can I ask you one thing? Yeah, can, I said. He said, why you told people to go ahead and you don't do anymore? Oh, I said, I can still do, provided there's condition to do. He cannot understand. No? Then I say, you are a dentist. Isn't it? Then I heard somebody say, he's a specialist. So he can do root canal and all those things. Oh, I say, I give you this example, then you will understand. Because you are a professional. I say, after your specialist degree or qualification, after you have done your practice, you are so experienced. If let's say suddenly people ask you to go back and do the GP, GP type of dentist, do tooth filling and pulling out to the more minor type, do the simple thing, like denture and all those things. Do you still want to go back and do? Oh, he said, no, I won't remember. My specialty is this one. I want to do this one. But if let's say you got a good friend who trusted you and want you to do, will you do? Or then only he understand what I mean. Means got condition. So things are like that. So what happened is, when there is condition to do, you do. When there is no condition, just let things be. But cultivation is, as you progress, you do different things. Understand? Not? When you are a child without the understanding, that's why you do a lot of childish things. Understand? Not? You can follow. When you go to primary school, you do a lot of primary school stuff. Understand? Not? Then as you go to secondary school, you come to more understanding. Then as you come out to the university, then as you understand better, you come out to work, you develop your experience, you do things differently again because you have your experience, your understanding. So, cultivation is the same. There are times where you make offering. During the early year, I do a lot. You ask my wife. I went all over the whole brand, length and breadth of Thailand. I got a lot of affinity with Thailand and China. Then I went and see my teacher in Australia, in New Zealand and all that. And that time I make Katina offering, everything. Then I make normal offering. Then I determine, aditan, make aspiration. And I did with understanding. Before I do, there was so much joy. When I do, there was so much joy. After I do, there was so much. Then I determine through the spiritual faculty. That's why I saw all this, how it actually bring forth the condition for my nature to move. Then my past came. My nature's past came. I inherited. That's why I saw all this. I understood all this. That's why when I heard about that, I advised Pamasuri. I said, this is from memory. So when memory arrives, means what? She actually felt that, how come she cannot have the joy like all the other kayanamitas? Understand? So there is attachment to that experience through memory. So acting according to memory is not acting at all. So what I told her is, are you mindful? Are you heedful? These are more important. Are you with the moment? Just conditioned like that. Sometimes your mind have the wisdom and the understanding it cannot do already. But it will not recall memory and create all this doubt, remorse, and all those things. So like Sabba Asava Sutta, what does it say? Things that are unfit for attention, you don't pay attention. True or not? When you pay attention, what happens? The unarisen mental hindrance arise like doubt. Then the arisen one become intensified. And this is what she was experiencing. Understand? That's why I told her, don't worry. You will learn all this. You will understand all this. The most important is to maintain heedfulness in the midst of life, daily life. I even told Ingby, I say, forget about all the setting and condition. Remember, you are here to train to stabilize your spiritual faculty so that when you come back, your spiritual faculty become powers. That in the midst of life, you can still be mindful, aware, and heedful. And that is the real meditation. It's not what you experience there. No meaning. If you cannot be heedful in the midst of life, Dhammapada verse 21, what did the Buddha say? The heedless are as if dead. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. So if you are out of the retreat, out of meditation, back to your daily life, the mental hindrance arise again, you become heedless again, you are as if dead. You don't stand a chance. Just like that lady from Singapore, remember? Sister T or what? She told Long Po Tong Bai. She went Long Po Tong Bai, asked her to share her experience. Last time she did the other tradition type of meditation. She realized, after she's out of meditation, when she go back to her daily life, that heedless moment is so much longer than what she can do in a retreat. No? And in a retreat also, she herself admits, because she used the noting, remember? The thought based on, and Long Bo Tong Bai told her what? After you note, you come back to yourself. You understand the meaning or not? After she note, she come back to herself. The atta is still there, understand not? Well, who is noting? The thought is noting. The thought is verbalizing. That's why the egoic mind is always there. So Long Po Tong Bai tried to tell her. That's why she even said, what was not taught to her last time was the five aggregate of form and mind, which Long Po Tong Bai taught her. That's why the second category of cultivation is mindfulness of the five aggregate of form and mind. Then she even mentioned, Long Po Tong Bai stress on silent mind. Remember? Silent mind. Where is Lily? Lily not around. Lily, first one to come out together with me. She has so much joy. What about you? Lucky is it we have you. I say, why? He said, we don't have to actually come so far. You have been telling us about the silent mind for so long. Actually, it's the same. That's why she has so much joy too. So without the silent mind in sati or awareness, you cannot understand. Because this is an awakening. When you awaken, when you realize, it's not from the thought. It's not acting according to memory. You act according to wisdom, understanding. Understand not? And the most important is heedfulness. Because before the Buddha passed away, what did he tell the monk? Strive on with? Strive on with what? Heedfulness. Why did he say that? Apamadena sampadeta. Strive on with heedfulness. Because Dhammapada verse 21 make it very clear. The moment you are heedful, you never die. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. So if you understand this Dhammapada verse, I tell you, you will strive on with heedfulness to develop heedfulness throughout the day. Otherwise, you cannot meditate. the real meditation is daily mindfulness. Of course, there are time to do the formal meditation, but most of the time, the formal meditation is just to train your mind. The puja and all those things is just to train your mind to develop the spiritual faculty and stabilize it. That's why under Kaya Nupassana, the first foundation of mindfulness, the Buddha said, Anapanasati, to train your mind in sati, mindfulness. When you train already, when your mindfulness stabilizes already, the spiritual faculty is there already, then you move on to the next category of cultivation. Mindfulness of the four posture: standing, aware; walking, aware; sitting, aware; lying down, aware. Then after that, move on to the third category, sati sampajana, mindfulness and clear comprehension of all action and all movement and all activity within the present moment. Means all the connecting movement between the four posture. That's why he said, standing aware, looking forward aware, bending, stretching aware, turning aware. Then even answer nature's call aware, putting on the monk's robe or shoulder cloth and all those things. You are fully aware. Means what? Throughout the day, you are aware. And they have 227 precepts to make them aware. That's why the precept is always about we undertake the training rule. You train yourself in mindfulness to abstain from doing all those things. If you don't have awareness, you will break your precept. Understand? That's why to keep precept, you must have awareness. That's why you must train. Then Dhammapada verse 23 confirmed what heedfulness is all about. He said the constantly meditative, ever mindful and steadfast one, they will realize the bond-free Nibbana. What is constantly meditative? Constantly cultivating the meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is Noble Eightfold Path. Then you have to add in the other part, ever mindful. Means throughout the day, you must have this mindfulness. That's why heedfulness is ever mindful to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. This is awareness based. This is not thought based. That's why ever mindful. The Buddha never said no. He just said aware. When they arise, be with it, aware. Standing, aware. Means the mind and the posture as one. Walking, aware. Not try to be aware. The one that is trying to aware is using the thought to be aware. How can you be aware? That's why you walk naturally. Body and mind as one without thought. You already aware. What is awareness? Before the knowing. Before the knowing. Means the moment you are silent without thought, you already aware. Can you understand? Better write down this one. Most people don't get it. Yeah, this is the pen. That is a very good one. The moment you are silent, you are ready. Ready. Always remember this. So don't try to be aware, because the trying is the thought. And the thought cannot be aware. Where awareness is before the arising of thought, before the knowing. How can you keep on creating thought and want to be aware or mindful? When you are mindful, you are without thought. That's why you can be aware of what is going on. You can see things as they are. But when you are thinking, you are lost in thought, preoccupied with what you think. With the emotion, with the fear, with the stirring of the mind. That's why you become heedless. You are lost in thought. When you are aware, you are without thought. Man can only do one thing at a time. You go and check yourself. When you are thinking, you are not aware already. Sometimes people call you also, you don't know. Then they say, hey, what are you thinking? Because you are lost in thought. Say, oh, you come here. But when you are silent, you are very sensitive. You are without thought. You are fully aware. Whatever that is going on, the senses will pick it up. But when you are preoccupied with that thought, lost in that thinking, you become blurred. That is what heedlessness is all about. So this one is most important. The moment you are silent, you are already aware. So don't try to be aware. Just maintain silent. Relax and be with it. When there is no thought, you already in sati. That's why it can be with it. And it does not receive, it don't stir, it don't react, it don't create thought. It don't input its views and opinion into what is happening. Can follow? This is awareness-based meditation. No more thought-based, no more labeling, no more verbalizing, no more conceptualizing, no more of those noting, thought-based noting, no more. That's why in the early day I felt funny when I saw those people at the retreat doing all those things. But that time I can't say anything because that was the one that is very, very strongly accepted by all. Because to them, if they know rising, falling, they are doing vipassana. And if they do all those things, they are meditating. So it's very difficult at that time. But nowadays, I think it has become different. People start to investigate, inquire. Then people start to reflect and contemplate. And this is very easy to understand. You don't need expert esoteric teaching or scientists to understand it. It is very, very easy to comprehend. But you need people who have that understanding to point out to you. Otherwise, you can be actually trapped in it. Just like last Thursday, I remember, I rubbed off just now, that one of the lady asked about letting go, remember? Letting go. That word like very logical, you know. Yeah, must let go. What? If I don't let go, I suffer. What? Correct, no? Now I remember. That's why I draw this very hot, like your problem. Molten piece of iron ball or whatever, very hot. It will burn you and torment you. So what you do? Put it down there. Put it down means what? When you hold, it torment and burn you. But when you put it down, means you understand it's burning you and tormenting you there. That's what you put down. Then, it no longer burn you. No longer tormenting you. So what happened? You have clarity of mind to look at it, yeah. Where this is your problem, yeah. After you accept it and allow it to be, your problem is still there, yeah. Let's say your health problem or financial problem or relationship problem or whatever. First noble truth reality problem. When you hold on to it, you worry about it, yeah. You have so much fear, worry, anxiety, yeah. You have so much sorrow and lamentation, yeah, until you go into depression. Yeah. But that one is because it's burning the mind. They cannot see, understand? But when it's red hot molten, what is this? Molten rock. Molten rock or iron ball. The moment you touch, because you have a physical body, you realize it's burning you like anything and tormenting you. Straight away you will drop it, understand? You didn't let go, no. You were not whole, understand? Because you understand it's burning you and tormenting you. But when you say, this is my problem, I have to solve it by holding on to it, worrying about it, that is the wrong way to solve problem. Because this one is burning you when you cling, attach, like the Buddha say, and hold on to this. Because this is delusion. You think it's you. You think it's real. You cannot see the impermanent leading to suffering. You cannot see the non-self and the empty nature. That's why you grasp, you cling, and you hold. The Buddha said you have to solve this, correct? That's why first noble truth reality, he tell you, this is suffering. The noble truth that explained to you about the realities of life and existence. This eight type of reality, where you confront them without wisdom, you suffer. And the cause is craving, attachment, born of self-delusion. Then the third noble truth says suffering need not be when you have this wisdom. Means you don't cling, you don't hold. But the moment you have delusion, you cannot let go, understand? Because you think this is a problem, you want to solve it, you are holding on to solve it, which is the wrong way. That's why you suffer. When you have so much fear, so much unhappiness, sorrow and lamentation, there is no clarity. Your mind is tormented, and your mind is so agitated, full of the hindrance, full of the wrong view. So how can you solve your problem? You can't. That's why the Buddha say, don't hold, don't cling, don't attach. See things as they are, means just put it down. Then it's not burning me, not tormenting me. Then my mind has clarity. You can understand? Because when I accept this as the first noble truth reality, means not only I suffer, every living being who confront this noble truth, the eight reality without wisdom, they also suffer. So the only difference between me and them is if I can accept it and don't attach, don't cling, I don't suffer. But the problem is still there. Understand? I have to solve it. That's why the meditation says, retrospectively, through wisdom, you resolve it. So you ask yourself, okay, this is my problem, health problem, financial problem, relationship problem, or whatever life-related problem. With a clear mind, when I'm not tormented, I am sober, I have clarity, I have the calmness, the peacefulness, the Buddha Dhamma. So I don't act according to memory. I don't act according to my fear, my delusion, my wrong view. I act according to Noble Eightfold Path, understanding, right thought. There are causes and conditions behind, the Buddha said, and mainly law of karma. That we are born of our karma, add to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma, and we are what we are because of karma. So if it's karma, what must you do? You need to ask for forgiveness, you ask for forgiveness. You need to repent, you repent. Then vow not to repeat this, because these are causes and conditions that can arise future suffering. You reap what you sow. So you have to follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good and pure. And that's how the teaching come about, and how to avoid all evil. Keep your precept. Train your mind to be mindful, to see the mental intention behind all your actions, speech and thought process. Then develop the essential Dhamma, what constitutes evil. Then only you can do something about your life. Then you ask yourself, how can I resolve this amicably so that nobody gets hurt, so that all this problem can be resolved amicably through understanding. And then the Buddha's teaching is Noble Eightfold Path. With this right view, I accept, I don't react, we have karma. Last time I did to people, now people do to me. Fair. Last time I killed, that's why now my health becomes like that. Fair. Then with that mind, with that understanding, I can accept things as they are. Then my mind is peaceful, calm. Then I tell myself, how can I resolve this amicably? I need to arrive right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, through understanding the teaching of the Buddha. Then I have to develop the right effort to abandon the unwholesome thought, unwholesome speech, wrong action and wrong livelihood. Then I have to arise the right effort to prevent the arising of all this unwholesome thought, wrong speech, wrong action and wrong thought process, and wrong livelihood. Then the other two is to cultivate the right thought, right speech, right action and right livelihood that are still not in me. Then the last right effort is to refine upon them and perfect it. Whatever right thought, right speech, right action and right livelihood that is already in me. And this is how you cultivate. Then after that, you must have mindfulness to develop the wisdom, to awaken to the three universal characteristics of impermanence, suffering, state and non-self, so that you are not deluded anymore. So that the phenomenal world will not deceive you, will not condition you into delusion to grasp, cling, and entangle yourself. And this is how you're free. So now you understand. Yeah? Okay, we should end. I think we exceeded by 5 minutes. Huh? Yeah. Include past life. Yeah. Because it's from the past. Otherwise, you cannot become what you are. Like the Buddha said, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. We are what we are every moment, every instant we call karma. So 100% is karma. I call it 99.9999% because only 0.000 enlightened beings are not affected by karma. They will not suffer anymore. Although karma, the conditions still come back to them, but they are not afflicted by it. So that is the reason why, when we have this teaching, we know how to actually understand life, then resolve life situation amicably. Then you will have that noble understanding to live life beautifully, meaningfully, wonderfully. Then life can become different, take a complete turn for the better. Then you will find meaning in life. You will have a lot of happiness, a lot of joy when you go through life. Every moment is so peaceful, so beautiful. You can be with the moment to realize and experience the pristine beauty of nature. Within that moment, without thought, there is no fear, no worry, no anxiety, no sorrow, no lamentation, just the pure awareness. Is you fully aware, fully live life. The moment to moment, every consciousness, every moment of consciousness is so beautiful, so meaningful, because there is no more delusion. And there is so much joy inside. No matter what happened to you, your physical body, the external world, your loved one or what, you can love, but there is no delusion anymore, no attachment anymore, where they are just form a mind. Dependent originating, condition arising, five aggregate, they are all empty, like the Heart Sutta say. Zhao Jian Wu Yun Jie Kong. When Guan Yin Bodhisattva illuminated onto the five aggregate of all mind, he realized that they were all empty. That's why she crossed beyond all suffering. And this is how the Dhamma can actually bring forth the enlightenment. Okay, let's rejoice, Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Today on the recording, make sure it's recorded. I think recorded, the light is there. I think this will help a lot of people. So we will do the sharing of merits. Let us recall to mind all of the wholesomeness that we have developed, all of the meritorious action that we have developed. Then we will now share this merits with all beings, starting with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anamoditva chirang rakantu loka sasana itta watta cha amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anamodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo ibmina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo Satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya sadu sadu sadu. Keep in respect mindfully the Lord Buddha and Guan Yin Bodhisattva and all the worthy ones.
Brother Sri An and Mingfeng, or letting us to come to their beautiful house. Actually, this is more for those who are not here. those who are going to Anandagiri on the 3rd of November, please make sure that we meet at the airport at KLIA 1 and not KLIA 2. Yeah? Please be there by 7 o'clock in the morning. Malindo Air. Yeah? And we will only be back on the 7th of November. Okay, we meet at KLIA 1 at McDonald's fast food outlets. A posting will be sent out to the WhatsApp group on the final details, or rather a reminder for everybody. Thank you.